All right, good morning. I'm going to move this back a little bit so I can see everyone in the front row, if that's okay. So, Christmas is coming up. I love Christmas. Who here loves Christmas? Okay, Jed doesn't. I saw you not raise your hand. Must not be a big thing in the Hollenbeck family. Anyway, I love the feeling it brings. I love most the music, the family time, the food. We do this thing every year with my family called Vigilia. For anyone who's Polish out there, we do a Polish family dinner, and it's got like the best food ever. It's my favorite meal. And then Christmas Day, we've got sauerkraut and kielbasa, and we got the meat. Well, I don't know if we do we do meatballs still? I don't know. Sometimes we do meatballs, and it's like my favorite food. It's like 2 days in a row of my favorite food, and I love it. It's great. It's a fun time. I always look forward to it. I'm sure most of you do as well. But I want with you to imagine a world without Christmas with me. When would we be happy? Like, when would we buy gifts? When else would we have an excuse to gouge ourselves and spend tons of money on everyone else, I guess, except for, like, birthdays and stuff, right? But what would we afford to look to all year? Obviously, exaggerating a little bit. There's more to good things than just Christmas. But this month, we're looking more in-depth into the very first Christmas, as Evan has been talking about. Evan talked about King Herod last week, correct? I wasn't up here, but I just know it was great because Evan is, we have the best preacher in all of America right here. That, I guess that's up for debate, but we love Evan, we do. All right, so this month, like I said, we're looking in depth into the first Christmas. Before this first Christmas, nobody had any Christmas. Just think about that. Nobody had any Christmas. Nobody had any Christmas music. Like, we think of the oldest Christmas music we have. Like, we got, like, Bing Crosby. It's a pretty old Christmas music. They didn't even have Bing Crosby in their day. Who'd they listen to? I don't know. But they didn't have any Christmas music. Santa had nothing to do. That poor guy. Just chilling at the North Pole by himself and no presents to make. But most of us, when we look at the Christmas story, we look at a pretty limited portion of Scripture, just a couple of chapters in the New Testament that talk about the actual Christmas story. But the great thing about the Christmas story is that it's actually talked about all throughout Scripture, the life of Jesus in general. It's either written about, referred to, or prophesied in plenty of the Old Testament as well. So today I'm going to be going back to a time before Christmas as we know it, when there was no apparent Christmas spirit, if you want to call it. But there was a hope of it. So today we're going to be looking at Christmas through the eyes of Isaiah today. Not one that you see in the Christmas story, but one that refers to the Christmas story a lot. But before we do that, we're going to look into the actual Christmas story in Matthew chapter 1. So if you want to turn there, you can follow along with me in your Bibles. And also, we're going to be flipping around in Isaiah, so if you can flip around in there too. But we're going to be in Matthew chapter 1, starting in verse 18. It says, "This is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph." It's not his mother. Yes, no, sorry. "His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins.' All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said to the prophet, 'The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel,' which means 'God with us.'" So let's pray really quick. Dear God, thank you for this great day. Thank you that you are with us, and thank you for your birth. And I pray that you will just help us learn the truths that Isaiah speaks about the Christmas story today. In Jesus' name, amen. So many of you have probably heard this story before, maybe even last week, and understand that the prophecy that's talked about in this passage comes from the Old Testament, more specifically the book of Isaiah, from the prophet Isaiah. And Isaiah had a lot of prophecies. He's one of the major prophets in, major prophets meaning he wrote a long book. That's what major prophet meant. But many of his prophecies included Jesus, included the birth of Jesus. And we're going to use them today to look at Christmas through Isaiah's eyes. Now, Isaiah wasn't alive for the first Christmas, obviously, but he knew that the birth was coming, the birth of the Messiah, and what that would entail. I want to look first at Isaiah chapter 11. And we're going to be reading verse 1 through 5, just so that we can see what Isaiah actually knew about this Messiah. It says, "A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots, a branch will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and of might, the Spirit of the knowledge and fear of the Lord. And he will not delight in the fear of the Lord. He will not judge by what he sees with his eyes or decide by what he hears with his ears. But with righteousness he will judge the needy. With justice he will give decisions for the poor of the earth. He will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth. With the breath of his lips he will slay the wicked. Righteousness will be on his, will be his belt, and faithfulness the sash around his waist." So Isaiah talks about a branch coming forth from the stump of Jesse. Jesse being the father of David. So when we hear Jesus, son of David, we can see that since David was the son of Jesse, Jesus was also the son of Jesse by how they said son. That just meant descendant. Isaiah knew that the lineage of the Messiah. He knew that Jesus would be the son of David, son of Jesse, and that he would become this branch that he talks about. So there's a prophecy of Jesus rising up a branch from the stump of Jesse. Just picture like a tall tree, and at the very top you got Jesus, just a branch out of that stump. So he knew that. And in Luke 2:11, we see it says, "Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He's the Messiah, the Lord." We see the culmination of this prophecy in that not only was he son of David, but he was born in the city of David because they were going back to their town for the census. He was born in the city of David, but he was also the son of David. So that really speaks true to this prophecy, this first prophecy that Isaiah spoke of. Isaiah, he knew that the Messiah was coming. There was a hope of a future Christmas day, and one that would bring about the gift of salvation. It wasn't just a birth. It brought about the greatest gift of all. You think about Christmas gifts. There's some pretty good deals on, like, Black Friday. There's some pretty good deals you can get for Christmas gifts. But how about the greatest gift of all, the gift of salvation that was given at the very first Christmas? And Isaiah knew about this one, and he knew what he was talking about. I want to go to another one, another prophecy, two chapters earlier, chapter 9, verse 6 in Isaiah. Now, if you have any kids in the kids' ministry, they're memorizing this verse right now, so make sure they know it, except for the little kids, just the 5 and up are memorizing this one. If they memorize it, they get to put a marble in the jar. It's pretty cool. So it says, For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." This prophecy speaks of a child who doesn't only come, but is given to us. Remember in John 3:16, God gave his one and only son, right? It was a gift that was given to us. He didn't just come, but was given. A beautiful gift of an opportunity of salvation. And I want to look specifically at these titles because this just shows that Isaiah knew Jesus. He knew what Jesus would do. He knew what this prophecy would fulfill. And then they're just awesome to think about. You think about Wonderful Counselor, the gift of a counselor or an advisor that is full of wonder. That's something that really gets to me, is when you think of just the wonder of God, like everything that God entails. That's something that kind of gets to my heart, is just the vastness of it. So when you think of a counselor, someone who can help you as a gift, and that's full of wonder that you can't comprehend. You look at mighty God, and omnipotent, full, all-powerful, mighty God that can do more than we can ever think. Everlasting Father, the gift of a Father that has no expiration date. This Father will not cease ever. And then finally, Prince of Peace. I love what Evan was talking about earlier today, just sensing the peace of God and how that peace transcends all understanding and is able to exceed what we can ask, think, or even imagine. And it breaks down any hostility. That peace is the peace by which Jesus ruled. Most rulers we see ruling by intimidation or war, I don't know, whatever word I'm thinking of that's not coming to mind. You think of very intense rulers, right? But Jesus was one that ruled with peace. He ruled with peace, which was so different than what every other ruler did. And he did it out of his love for us. Isaiah prophesied all these qualities that are so evident in the future life and ministry of Jesus. You see it as you continue to read in the Gospels. You see it in the changed lives of all the people that he's touched. You see that he was one that ruled with peace. He was a mighty God. He was a wonderful counselor and an everlasting Father that remains to this day. Truly the greatest gift that anyone could consider on Christmas. But the prophecy I really want to focus on is the one that's mentioned in the Matthew passage at the end of it. It's in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, so a couple chapters before where we are now. It says, "Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel." In Matthew, it adds that Emmanuel means God with us. Israel's been waiting a long time for a Messiah. It had been promised to them that a Savior would come, that would this Savior would defeat evil and deliver God's people. And it's been promised nearly since the beginning of time. We see like the first hint of prophecy in Genesis chapter 3 when the serpent's head will get crushed by the heel of man. And so we see the very hint of it there, but throughout Genesis, throughout all of the Old Testament, you see continual prophecies of this Messiah that's going to come and defeat evil and that's going to reign, and Israel's going to be taken from all of its hardship. But when would that time come? The answer to that question was unknown, but through prophecies like this one Isaiah gave, they had a sign of what to look out for. They had some kind of glimmer of hope because they knew what they could look out for, and they could begin to get an idea of what Christmas was about before it ever existed. They could see the beauty and the joy behind it. And even, I think even bigger than the sign of the virgin birth is the promise of the one to come. His name being Emmanuel, which, as I've said, means God with us. That's the key thing I want to talk about, is just Isaiah knew the name of this baby that he would never meet, but can see through prophecy that God gave him that this baby would be called Emmanuel, meaning God with us. The name is almost the most incredible part of the prophecy, I think. The Israelites went through slavery, the wilderness, a vast kingdom, all this hardship, exile, everything else in between, ups and downs. And through all of it, the commonality of it all is that God was with them through every step, the highs, the lows, the question marks, the exclamation points, every kind of punctuation you can think of. God was there through it all. And Isaiah reminds them that a Messiah is going to come not only to defeat evil, not only to deliver them, but also to be a reminder that God is with them. Jesus didn't just come to do those things, but his very name was a reminder, God is with us. And he's with us today, and he remains with us. What a better way to remind that God is with us than by sending a son, sending a physical representation that God is with us and a savior. Isaiah knew that that savior would come from the root of Jesse, from a virgin, and he knew why he was going to come. But more importantly, he knew that coming with that baby was the gift of salvation. But Christmas was only the beginning of that story of our salvation. Isaiah had hope because he knew what the birth of this boy would bring. He knew it would come from the birth of this boy and what it would lead to. Isaiah, remember, 700 years about before the birth of Christ, and he is speaking this to Israel in the midst of their uncertainty, in the midst of their already thousands of years of questioning, of seeking God, and he's trying to be that sound mind, which, as we know, Israel had their ups and downs with God. They've had people with sound minds that they followed, and then they're like, we don't want to follow you anymore. We're going to go do our own thing. So Isaiah has now taken up that role as that leader of what, of the leader that has that true prophecies of God. And I want to move forward now to chapter 53. This is going to be the final place that we're in Isaiah. Chapter 53. In this passage, or I'm starting in verse 3, Isaiah speaks of a suffering servant. And it's pretty clear that this is a future representation of Jesus. So I'll start reading there. We'll just read the whole thing from verse 3. He was despised and rejected by mankind, a man of suffering and familiar with pain, like one from whom people hide their faces. He was despised, and we held him in low esteem. Surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering, yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as sheep before its shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away, yet who of his generation protested? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgression of my people he was punished. He was assigned a grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, though he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it was the Lord's will to crush him and cause him to suffer. And though the Lord makes his life an offering for sin, he will see his offspring and prolong his days, and the will of the Lord will prosper in his hand. After he has suffered, he will see the light of life, and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servants will justify many, and he will bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will give him a portion among the great, and he will divide the spoils with the strong, because he poured out his life into death and was numbered with the transgressors. For he bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. So this is the life of Jesus that's foretold in the prophecy of Isaiah. All these prophecies leading up to the birth of Christ, all these other prophecies he's got, but this one leading to the life and ministry of Jesus. Confirmed through the scripture, as we see, that this is Jesus' life. Isaiah understood the condition that humanity was in, including himself, which it takes a humble person to understand the condition that you're in, which is not as good as you think. He knew that they were astray like sheep. He knew that they were cursed with iniquities, as this passage says, and in need of a savior. And what hope was there at this time? What hope was there for Israel? All they had was the hope that a Messiah would come eventually. none of those signs having been fulfilled, no indication that it would come soon. The only hope they had that maybe some of them had was it would come. I'm just sure that's what Israel was undoubtedly thinking at this time after centuries of waiting. And I'm sure many of them began to have doubts, which is why I think we have so many ups and downs of Israel. Is that the doubts linger and they build up. Is this God? Are you coming? And Isaiah's here to tell them he is coming. Just wait on the Lord. Actually, this wasn't in my notes, but you see, if you know a different part in Isaiah, those who wait on the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. And they'll renew their strength. And I think that's a huge thing of what Isaiah is saying right here. Wait on the Lord, and your strength will be renewed. Everything that you're hoping for will be brought to you if you continue to wait on him. But that's so difficult to do, and I can sympathize with the Israelites knowing that after centuries that hope was diminishing. But thank God for people like Isaiah, the prophets, that said there's still hope. God gave me this new message of hope. We have a hope of a Messiah, and here's a sign that we can look for. This was the day that our Savior was born to be oppressed, punished, and killed on our behalf. Our Savior Jesus was born simply to die for us. And that was where his clear hope stemmed from, Isaiah's. I want to read the last three verses of that chapter again, 10 through 12. Yet it was the Lord's will to crush him and cause him to suffer. And though the Lord makes his life an offering for sin, he will see his offering and prolong his days, and the will of the Lord will prosper in his hand. After he has suffered, he will see the light of life and be satisfied by his knowledge. My righteous servant will justify many, and he will bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will give him a portion among the great, and he will divide the spoils with the strong, because he poured out his life unto death and was numbered with the transgressors. For he bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. And the result of all of our iniquities, our hardships, our sins, Isaiah clearly paints the picture of Christ's mercy and his love for us in the midst of the craziness. He lived as an offering for us in order that the will of the Lord would go forth for all his people. He justified people, so I'm not sure, but so that people would spread the light of life, this light in the midst of darkness from himself, so that all people will be able to find their hope in him. And at the end of it all, we see at the end of verse 12 that Jesus is continually caring for us and making intercession for us transgressors, for our transgressions. He's making intercession. He made intercession, and he continues to do that for us. This baby was more than just a prophesied birth, as we see Isaiah says that. He was a prophesied Savior, a long-awaited one. It's where Isaiah found his hope 700 years before the birth of Christ. And before there was a Christmas, Isaiah had a hope of it. Seemingly crazy, unhuman hope, but he had hope, not knowing when that would come. When we look at a world before Christmas, I want us to see that it's not a world without Christmas. We haven't had a world without Christmas, because there's always been a hope of it to come, and God has been with us. That name again, God with us through it all. We see Isaiah held on to this hope, God with us, Emmanuel would come. Throughout history, we've had a world before Christmas where people hoped of it. We had a world during Christmas where people experienced it. And now we're living in a world after Christmas where we can celebrate it. And I'm just so thankful that we're in that third part where we can celebrate the birth of Christ, the risen Savior. And we've read it. We've read the words that he's spoken that Isaiah didn't have a chance to do. Sure, he had crazy encounters with God. But I'm so thankful that we get to know that our Savior has come. And we have other prophecies that we can look forward to still, but we have confidence knowing that he's come. And I think we can look at the hope that Isaiah had and be encouraged by that. He didn't know, but he hoped. Now we know and can hope as well. We never did have a world without Christmas. Now for Santa, he may have had nothing to do before Christmas. But God was always at work. The birth of Jesus was always a part of God's holy plan. As I would say in the kids' ministry, God's big God story, that was a part that was initiated at creation through Jesus' birth and that we're a part of now. It was always part of God's big God story, as I would say down there. And throughout history, the same hope in the Messiah that was finally born in the city of David has provided the same gift of salvation to all people, should they choose to accept it, should you choose to accept that gift. Isaiah chose to accept it, and he hadn't even seen it yet. We need to choose to accept it because we know that the Messiah has come. The hope that Isaiah had, the Christmas spirit, if you will. Let's have some Christmas spirit this holiday. Yeah? The hope that Isaiah had for the future Savior can be had by all of us this year as we celebrate Christmas for our Savior, whom we know. And he's come and died for us, and we know that. Emmanuel, God with us, has come. He's here in our hardest times. He's here in our best times, just like he was for the Israelites. And he's been with us since the creation of the world. He's with us and present in our lives. He's with us. And let's live lives that celebrate the fact that he is with us this Christmas, after Christmas, next Christmas. Let's live lives that celebrate that fact and show it to others. You can have the worship team come up here now, and I'll just close out in prayer. And I don't know what song you guys want to do, whatever's fine. Goodness of God, maybe. Dear Lord, we thank you that you are with us. We thank you that you are Emmanuel. We thank you that you have come. Peace that you will just let everything be okay. Lord, let us live in peace. Let us live in hope. Let us live in faith, for you, our wonderful counselor, our mighty God, our everlasting Father, and our Prince of Peace. Lord, we love you. We thank you that you've come. We thank you for the story of Isaiah, the story of Christmas. And Lord, we praise you for today. We praise you for this great holiday season. In Jesus' name.